Hello, everybody. My name is Lisa Burwell. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of V Magazine, and you are listening and watching V Speaks Think Out Loud podcast. And my guest today is Jordan Staggs, managing editor of V Magazine. She has been with the magazine for 8+ years, and to say the magazine wouldn't be the magazine without Jordan Staggs would be a phenomenal understatement. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, good. Well, we are right now in the midst of getting, what, like the 94th issue, something like that, to press, that goes to press on Wednesday. And today is Wednesday. That means we have the week push to the finish line, which we kind of have a joke around here where the week prior to the magazine uploading, everyone is not very talkative. They're in kind of not so great of a mood, in a tad grouchy.
I guess you could call it Hell Week. Is that what they call it in the sororities and fraternities?
Yes. So this is where we are now. But we've been here, as I said, many, many, many 90-something times ago. I think it's 93. So we'll get through it like we always do, but let's just throw a little podcast in the mix so that we can't we just get sidetracked like one more time. So to everybody listening, Jordan came to the company as an intern 9 years ago, and she did a great job. And I knew she was a great writer. I knew she was a great editor from the get-go. But I could have never known that you actually, after all these years, are the most prolific writer that I know. And I asked you yesterday because I was struggling to write an article. I know how many things you have to edit and how many things you have to write. And I'm like, Jordan, how do you write so much? And you said...
I said, I don't know. I just do. It's been something that I've done since I was old enough to hold a pencil, I think. I was always writing stories growing up and poems. And the first one I ever had published, I think I was 9 years old. I wrote a poem about spaghetti.
I remember. And I read it. It was really good. And it was, so.
They put it in the kids section of the paper in my hometown. And that was so exciting to me. Seeing my name on it and it was published. So I think I kind of always wanted to do that.
Well, you have walked in your calling's footsteps for sure. Do you remember the poem?
Oh, yeah.
Can you recite it?
Oh, God. Oh, do I have to?
No, you don't have to do anything you don't want to.
I can.
Go for it.
Okay. I don't remember the name of the poem, but I know it was about spaghetti. So we were studying Shel Silverstein in my class in third grade. So that gives a little background. It's supposed to be his style of poetry.
Okay.
So it was, we made a big pot of spaghetti. We threw it at parties for confetti. When it was gone, we knew what to do. Make more spaghetti and throw it at you. Here we come with our big bowl. We're coming your way and we're out of control. So you better watch out for us and our bowl of spaghetti.
Wow. 9 years old? That's really good. And so it was a competition?
No, it was just my teacher just sent it into the paper.
Wow. Well, like I said, you are in the right. And then you had interned at Flower Magazine before coming to us.
Mm-hmm. In Birmingham.
In Birmingham. And your alma mater is?
I went to the University of Alabama. So I had made a connection to Flower Magazine while I was there and did a summer internship.
And that's a good magazine. Mm-hmm. And you liked that magazine, too.
Oh, I love it. And the people there are so nice.
Yeah. And they're still doing a great magazine,
they
too.
Are.
My hat's off to them. And I met that magazine through you, or got to know them through you. And I think it's really good. But to think that in your very young life that you have done so much writing and been in the magazine publishing business and then, marketing and branding as well with our publisher, The Idea Boutique, too. So you can crank it out. And I just, like, when I was having, my struggle, I'm like, how the heck do you write this much? Hats off. Magazine would not be what it is without you. And
thank you.
I just think the world and have so much respect and admiration for everything that you do. You are a pivotal integral part of V Magazine. And one of the fun things about having a podcast is being able to share that. And I think that we're a small company. We have like a family culture. We've traveled probably together more than anyone
a
I
lot
know,
of people.
You know, for business, you know?
Yes.
Quite a lot. And one of our last trips, well, the last trip that we took was to New York mm-hmm. in November.
Mm-hmm. October of last year.
October last year. And that was our last company trip when we, drum roll please, because I still can't believe that it happened, but we interviewed and did the cover shoot with Tina Brown on the cover, you know, the legendary Tina Brown of New Yorker, Vanity Fair, fame, Vanity Diaries, and her own Women in the World that she's doing right now. Mm-hmm. And it was, for me, like a pinnacle moment in my own career that the woman in the 80s, when I would be reading Vanity Fair and The New Yorker, you know, respectively, mm-hmm. in the times that she was there, was like the grand dame of like publishing for, and she was legit and she's an amazing writer and, you know, just everything that she dominated and brought to the table. I just think it was a career highlight and mm-hmm. I think it was great for the magazine. And I like giving the audience just a little background insight onto how these things happen, because like who would know how all of this happened?
Right.
So we'll give backstory. And on one of our meet and greets that we've been basically jaunting around the United States for the last 3.5 years, mm-hmm. one of them was Charleston. And Charleston was a great city for us to embed into. V was very welcomed into that city. And people really love the magazine. And these meet and greets are intended to grow the brand and grow the readership and grow the distribution. So we met Suzanne Pollock, who is the dean of the Charleston Academy, and she was mm-hmm. very influential to us basically meeting a lot of other people and opening some new doors. So a couple of years after, and she's been a contributing writer since, she called us up a year and a half ago and asked if we wanted to sponsor the literary festival in Charleston that she was the acting director of that year. And of course, we said yes, and we all got in the car or the plane again and went back to Charleston like several times, one of them being when we were sponsoring and hosting the Tina Brown and Literary Festival. And I thought her presentation was fantastic, and it really spoke to me. It spoke to me. One of the things that she said from the stage was at the Dock Street Theater. That's where she, the oldest theater in the United States.
It was beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. It was just like intimate and charming and so historic. And she said she felt really badly for, you know, regional magazines because she didn't see how they could survive. And she thought that the world really needed to continue to have localized and regional magazines and newspapers as well, or else then the news just becomes one voice mm-hmm. and it's not going to be good for anybody. And that ad revenue alone cannot sustain that type of a business. And so I was sitting there and I felt like she was actually talking right to me about what we were doing and how that is why we have been on this national launch that we've been doing with our Stories with Heart and Soul. So we all stood in line. We bought her book, Vanity Fair Diaries. and then I was nervous, but I had to go for it. So I just said, Tina, you know, we have V Magazine and we sponsored you. And can you take a picture with us and our whole crew? So, you know, we interrupted the entire line and created the entourage chaos that we do kind of wherever we go.
Yes.
And she had to stop and took a picture with us. And a couple months later, I think I reached out to someone that knew her through Suzanne, actually, about if she could help get a door open for us to talk to Tina Brown about being on the cover. So tell everybody a little bit about that experience from your vantage point, from what it meant to you. You know, I just said what it meant to me, and then how we went about everything, and then like our little trip to Hamilton that we had so much fun at.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, it was an amazing experience too, kind of surreal, especially being there in her apartment. I mean, she was so gracious to let us come in and do the shoot there. She had just moved in recently, and You know, she didn't have to do that. It was so nice of her. And it was very intimate. She did a great job. She's such a professional. We had our crew, whole crew come in and out and flowers and all of this. And I think that, like you said, you know, she's still one of the biggest names in publishing, and she sees things that others don't, as far as the industry goes, and how that it's so important to have different voices in publishing throughout the world. And that's what she's done now with her, the Daily Beast, founding that. I mean, digital publishing is huge. I mean, but she, like she said, that print is not dead, and we still need these smaller publications, voices from, you know, regular people, which is what we always try to do in V, and telling their stories and also taking the celebrity side of it, but telling more heartfelt, intimate stories from those people as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that Tina Brown has done a great job throughout the years of evolving with the times, and now founding Women in the World, which is huge. And she's telling stories from women literally all over the world, and all, you know, backgrounds and
important issues that no one's talking about, because no one talks about anything except ridiculous things.
Exactly. So getting those voices out there and their stories is so important. And, you know, getting to meet her and do that shoot was huge for me as a writer and an editor as well. Yes. I love kind of becoming a chameleon and trying to meld different voices when I'm editing a piece that someone else has written. I think it's important to maintain that integrity of what the writer sounds like. Mm-hmm. And it's a skill that I think I've, you know, definitely been able to hone while I'm here.
I agree.
Which has been great. And I love it. And I think I like editing even more than writing.
You've said that a couple of times. You are a good editor.
Writing is hard, like you said.
It is hard.
It's not.
It is hard.
It is hard.
Thank you for fixing my piece that I wrote yesterday, dear Lord.
It was good. It's a great one. People are going to love it.
So, you know what Tina said? I mean, I know you know this, but we'll tell the audience. So after the shoot was done, by the way, another shout out to Carlo Pieroni, like one of our A-game photographers, with his wife Carol, who brought it.
They're such an amazing team.
Amazing team, and they got the cover shoot again and everything else that we needed them to do. And we do make a good team with them as well. And I think Tina was impressed with the whole, you know, entourage that we brought. I do. Because you know what? Sometimes I don't know we're impressive until we go out and then people that are very influential think like that we have our act together more than anybody they've ever seen before. And I'm like, what are the other people doing?
I don't know.
That we do. Yeah, we should bottle it and make millions and millions of dollars.
Yes. From her, you know, from hair and makeup people and
the inspiration board that we put together. And
they
always say we're nice and we're organized. That's good. You know, nice goes a long way. Yes. Organized. Organization does too. So remember when we handed her several copies of the magazine and we said, so this is the magazine you're going to be on, and you know, distribution in airports and Barnes and Noble and newsstands across the country. And she kept holding the magazine. And she goes, so I'm going to be in this magazine, like the printed magazine. And she asked a couple of times. Yes. And she said, you know, to really tell you the truth, she said, I think print is more credible than digital. Mm-hmm. No matter how much that the world is morphing to digital, and I have a digital platform, she said, still to this day, I think reading an article in a printed magazine is more credible. So as I've always thought, or we wouldn't still be making a magazine 13 years later if I didn't think it was credible and other people didn't think it was credible. It's just this whole world that has like stamped like digital, not prints. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually not true, but whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I think they both have their ups and downs for sure. Digital, it's just such a fluid platform. And, you know, anybody can make a website and call it a news site. And so it's hard to sort of tell sometimes what's the most credible source. So I think having that print.
It's credible.
It makes you put more effort, I mean, usually into it. And it does give a perception of being like high class and credible and, you know, trustworthy.
Trustworthy, yeah, exactly. So All right. So we had such a good time, like a highlight moment, as I've said, with Tina on the cover. And I liked her a lot. I really, really liked her. Mm-hmm. She warmed up to us, and she didn't have to because, you know, she doesn't have to. And she did. And I really appreciated that. But was it the night before or was it that night that we went to Hamlet? It was the night before. So tell the story of that, because that's part of the whole thing, the whole game.
We arrived in New York sort of in the afternoon, like maybe 2 or 3 o'clock. Did not anticipate the airport fiasco that we were going to have that day. They had just rolled out a new rideshare, not program, but I guess protocol at the airport. So we were waiting in a huge line for over an hour, probably.
In the rain.
In the rain, trying to figure out how to get into an Uber or a cab or whatever was there available to take us to our hotel.
Because we had the tickets.
We had tickets to Hamilton that night, which was huge. You know, they're difficult to get. And we were so excited to go. And I'm a big fan of musicals, and it was one that I'd really wanted to see for a long time. So that was
stressful
trying to get from the airport to the hotel and then checked in and then from the hotel to Hamilton in time, in the rain, no Ubers, cabs to speak of. I think we kind of stole one from someone outside our hotel.
We tried to, but then we said, we won't steal it. We'll let you have it.
Anyway, it was difficult to get a car. And then when we finally got there, huge line to get into the theater, which, you know, is to be expected. And we had to pick up tickets from Will Call, which was another just added level of we don't know what we're doing. Kind of stressful. And but we did it, and we managed to kind of sneak in. We got our tickets and we went in. But
no, we didn't have to wait in the line.
The usher was very nice.
I asked him if he would let us in because we needed help.
So we didn't have to go all the way back to the end of the line. But the seats were great. The show was phenomenal. What Lin-Manuel Miranda has done with that show and everything that he writes is just incredible. The music, the cast that we saw, obviously not the original cast, but they did such a great job. And I think that, I mean, for me as a writer, seeing his work and as a lover of theater and musicals, it was a life-changing experience. I know that sounds super cliche, but it was.
It was amazing.
And it was so inspiring what they've done and seeing this story play out on the stage that, like, we all kind of know the background of, you know, the founding fathers and all these people, but they did it in such a way that it really humanizes them. They're not just people that you read about in the history book. It's like, oh, these are real people. They had feelings and they're doing all these things out of passion and fear and love. And I don't know. That's just like what we want to strive to do as well.
Yeah. It was amazing. Like the choreography, the rapping, and I know you can do it, and I'm going to really ask you to do it. Give me a rap.
Come on, you can do it. You know it. So
please do. Everyone will love it.
Okay. Which one should I do?
Any, because you know the whole thing.
I'll do that. Okay, I'm going to do a little bit of My Shot, which is like the first sort of big number, I guess, by Hamilton. Okay.
This is
so embarrassing.
This is good stuff.
Okay. It's I'm gonna get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dang it, I'm amazing, astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word I drop. Knowledge, I'm a diamond in the rough, a shiny piece of coal trying to reach my goal. My power of speech unimpeachable. Only 19, but my mind is older. These New York City streets getting colder. I shoulder every burden, every disadvantage I have learned to manage. I don't have a gun to brandish. I walk these streets famished. The plan is to fan this spark into a flame, but damn, it's getting dark, so let me spell out my name. I am the A-L-E-X. A-N-D-E-R, we are meant to be a colony that runs independently. And it keeps going on, but I'm going to stop there.
We are, wow.
And this has taken months of preparation.
And by the way, she knows every word of the entire
Because it's so good. I've been listening to it nonstop since October.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, God.
I hoped you would do it, but man, was that good. That was so good.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, I'm sorry.
I still can't get over it. I can't wait to watch this podcast or listen to it so I can hear you do that again.
Yes.
Too bad Broadway's closed right now. So we need you. We need you so desperately. So, all right, now let's segue from that experience. And who knew when we were sitting in the theater watching that, that right around the corner, 7, 8, 9 months later, we were going to have the opportunity to interview Leslie Odom, who was part of the original Hamilton cast. And he was our cover gent. I call him a cover gent because gent is more sophisticated and civilized than guy. So he was our cover gent for our entertainment issue just, you know, 3 months ago. And we were so excited about it. So tell everybody about that.
That was such a great opportunity too. And I'm so glad that he agreed to do it and, you know, was excited about being on the cover. We had a nice, really nice phone conversation with him that I think ran longer than it was supposed to because we were just having a great time talking. And, you know, he's done so many incredible things. He started on Broadway when he was 17 or 18, I think, from Philadelphia and had said he fell in love with theater, musical theater through Rent, which was another big influence on me as when I was about that age as well, because that was kind of right when the movie came out. Again, another huge, powerful story about love and just real people trying to live their lives and do whatever they can do to stay alive and stay together. So getting that opportunity was so cool. And having him on the entertainment issue was just perfect. And he's been, you know, speaking out on his social media platforms so much for his community, especially, you know, Black actors in the theater right now. And he's been such a great voice for that. And I think that it's super important that, you know, we continue to highlight him as a V past cover star. So that was just such a great opportunity.
When we were interviewing him too, he was just embarking on a 6-week tour for his new
album that came out last year. Yeah, he was just starting his tour for that, which unfortunately the tour was canceled, but it's such a great album. It's called Mister, and it's a good mix of jazz and soul, and you really get his personality through it instead of just sort of what we know of him from Broadway so far. So highly recommend that to anybody.
Yes, it's amazing. And hopefully he'll get to reignite his tour when you know, this whole thing is over with the pandemic and all that, because I think he did one show and then I think all the other shows had to get canceled, which was like huge disappointment for so many people. Had so many different disappointments that they had to endure, which when I call it like the world paused, which was something else. But what he was also an actor in several different movies.
Yes, and he has some more coming out this year. I mean, I'm hoping that they come out on time. One where it's all about, it's called One Night in Miami, I think. And that's going to be a great one. So
that's good.
Looking forward to seeing what he does in the future.
So what would you say was like a highlight while you have been managing editor? Like there's so many different things, but what would you say like was either an article that you wrote or a photo shoot that we went on? I have one that's my favorite with you, but you tell me what's your favorite.
Oh gosh, it's really hard to pick a favorite. And the Tina Brown experience is definitely up there. I think that the Ireland photo shoot at Belinda Hinch Castle was incredible. You know, going there with fashion designer Christian Siriano and those beautiful gowns, beautiful, beautiful.
And the beautiful place.
Yes, the beautiful setting. Ireland's such a great country. Everyone there was so welcoming and warm to us. And we had a sunny day for that shoot.
Yeah, the sun had not been out for 6 months before we got there.
That's
what they said. Is true. And they asked us some really sort of like irreverent question if we.
Like if we had like done a sacrifice or something.
Yeah, how did we get the sun out? No, anyway, the Irish wit can be very like dark and gloomy and funny all at the same time. But yes, we were really blessed with a sunny day. Okay, so my favorite one of my favorite photo shoots, and then concepting and the writing was this dystopian shoot.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, that was definitely because, Bella won South Waltham Fashion Week model competition, and and V had been a sponsor with them for 4 years, and whoever won as a designer and the model got a cover feature and a feature in the magazine. Mm-hmm. So Bella was the last one.
She was the last one, along with the male model, which was Jordan Canamar, and the designer, Rochelle Valenzuela. So we were using his clothes and had him make the custom jumpsuit for her because he only did men's clothing before that. So he did the jumpsuit and the dress.
Why don't we have that jumpsuit? How can we get that jumpsuit, that pink jumpsuit?
I don't know. Did Bella get to keep it?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her. But that was amazing. But the whole concept, and then you wordsmithed that concept and brought that concept to life, which was pretty cool.
That was such a fun story. To tell through, for the photos. And then I think you and Tracy had sort of come up with the concept, and then we all worked together to really
It was around Christmas time, and there was a Twilight Zone marathon episode, marathon for like four days, and I watched it.
Okay.
And how I came up with the concept was inspired from my 4 days of watching the Twilight Zone.
I did not know that part. Yes. That's hilarious, but I love it.
So... Well, to many more memories with lots more money.
Yes.
Jordan, you've been an awesome guest. I've had a lot of fun.
Me too.
All right. Thanks for being on V Speaks, Think Out Loud.
Thank you.
Thanks.